Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as the case may be, in whatever time zone of the 24 in this, on this world, in this world, both. They go straight through, right? In a way? Maybe not. I'm Art Bell anyway, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Open lines Friday night, Saturday morning, and we're going to do all kinds of things. It is going to be flat out open lines, and what I have decided to do, well, I'll tell you in a moment. I'd like to welcome a new affiliate, WTJS in Jackson, Tennessee, 1390 on the dial. And I'd like to say hello to the general manager there, Scott Rebouts, and the ops director, Stu Smoke. Yo, guys, thank you for getting us on. You're going to find out tonight how really and truly strange a program this is. Well, all right, before we get under... Oh, what I've decided to do is I took about a half a dozen of these suggestions that you all have peppered me with about what we do tonight in terms of unusual lines, and I've decided... Actually, to with experience here, after having done this for a few weeks, I now know if you get off on a topic, there's no point in restricting it to one line. So anybody, anywhere, on any line can respond to any one of these topics or questions. Forget the isolated line thing. It doesn't work anyway. You know, if something catches on, you want to talk about something, it comes flooding in on every line anyway, so I give up. The following topics are invited for discussion. I selected, I think, four or five or six. Any and all interdimensional beings may call in tonight. That is to say, if you claim you are... And this person does claim they are an interdimensional being. And I should have done this before. I should have thought of this before. With all of the discussion we've had of different dimensions and these portals that actually have been seen by us mainstream scientists to open, even if they can't prove it, we've seen things crawl through whatever in the hell opens up. And so it made sense, yes, indeed. Anybody out there who claims to be an interdimensional being is welcome to call. Here's one from Darren who suggests we open a line for vanishings. I thought that was a pretty good idea, too, vanishings. There have been so many vanishings over the years, people who have simply disappeared. No report of death, nothing. They just, it's like they are plucked out of life, like that. Whatever they may have been doing at the time, many with absolutely no motive for disappearing. I mean, some people, of course, might run away, right? But in other cases, it really does seem as though somebody right in the middle of their life is just plucked from Earth and never seen again. Now, Stephanie suggests, following last night's show, and I concur with this, this would be fun. Anybody out there who has a pet which can talk, I want to hear it talk. If you have a dog that can say, Mama, bring it on. If you've got a cat that can say, Fish, bring it on. Actually, you know, it doesn't matter. Any animal that can say a word, whether you've got it recorded or whether you can cause Fido or Missy to do it on the spot for us. That's tougher going. Now, I would also like to open a line from John. John Ham, as a matter of fact, suggests we open a line for levitators, people who claim they can levitate off the ground. No, we've talked a lot about it with Mr. Blaine and then the guest the other night, holy mackerel. So anybody who can levitate off the ground, you can call in tonight. Now, one last question for anybody wishing to respond to it. If you could perform just one miracle, what would it be? Just one miracle, what would it be? And while we're on the category of miracles, whether you heard today, you well may not have, there is the most amazing report you've ever heard in your whole life. It comes from Matt Drudge, of course, my buddy Matt. I don't know. Actually, I do know how he does some of this, but I don't know how he does a lot of what he does. Matt Drudge really has stuff before it's haveable. I just don't know how he does it, except in a few cases. This is amazing. Amazing. The headline is, talk show host King, that would be a rush, hears sound. Limbaugh said to regain 80%. 80% of his hearing. Now, Rush Limbaugh, 51, reading what Drudge has said, has regained most of his hearing just weeks after undergoing cochlear implant surgery. Listen to this. His brother, David, told the Drudge Report, "We talked on cell phones. It was great." Now, is a miracle in more ways than one. I don't know how much you know about the cochlear implant, but it should not do this. Now, the cochlear implant, once they've done the operation, generally many months have to go by before it is turned on, number one. Two, what the recipient of the cochlear implant receives is nothing like what you and I are hearing right now. It is sound, to be sure, but it is not like the sound that we're hearing right now. And I am told by every expert in the field that recipients of the cochlear implant have to learn to interpret the sounds as human voice. Now, that takes months. Something really wild has, if this report is true, something really wild has happened with Rush. There is no way that he should be able to talk on a cell phone right away. No, not even close, not in a million years. So I'm happy, really, really, really happy for Rush, and I am flabbergasted at the results. Now, obviously, it's worth considering, under the circumstances, whether what we did in terms of the searing white light that we sent his way in our mind blast experiment, whatever you want to call it, this mass consciousness effort that we tried, might have had an effect here. I mean, this is just beyond the pale. It's impossible. How could he possibly be talking on the telephone? How could he? 80%. Miraculous. Definitely under the category, in my opinion, of miracle. In war news, we still have not found Bin Laden. The commander-in-chief of the U.S. Central Command said, the world is not a large place, not large enough for him today. He may hide today, and he may hide tomorrow, but ultimately we'll get him. And I'm sure we will. Now, I also heard somebody say, maybe he's dead. He's got a condition. Two Israeli tanks and an armored personnel carrier parked outside Yasser Arafat's headquarters on Friday, confiding the Palestinian leader to his own office. This after a Palestinian gunman burst into a banquet hall and killed six Israelis. Now, when two tanks and an armored personnel carrier virtually come and park in front of your house, that is a strong message. I mean, if you came home and you found two tanks, their barrel looking right at your living room, and an armored personnel carrier all parked in front of your house, you would definitely get a message. Those guns, they're going to be pointed at his complex 24 hours a day, and I suppose he's got to sit there and wonder people on the other side of the triggers are thinking at any given moment or getting ordered to do. Cross people got to go see BLK to prisoners down at Gitmo and want to ensure they get POW status, I guess. And let's see. Two-time Super Bowl champion coach Bill Parcells said tonight he will not return to the sideline with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who would have had it so. He's just not going to do it. Says he can't give it his all, and so he's not going to do it. So he will not be going down there. Now, a very powerful earthquake struck off the coast of Chiapas in Mexico on Wednesday. I'm just finding out. This one was, about 6.3 magnitude. 6.3 in Chiapas, that's in very southern Mexico where all the trouble was. Again, I want to remind you that we are now nearing the window for my radon earthquake detector guy's earthquake. And he believes something between a 6.3 and a 7.2 now is going to hit in the Los Angeles area from 48 to 72 hours. Is, you must admit now, with the news of Mexico, rather interesting. As you know, this earthquake prediction was made a couple of weeks ago by my radon guy. We'll see. We shall see. Now, I've got an article here that you can check out on my website and should check out on my website. I've been telling you for some time now that the sun does not appear to be behaving as it should. And the following is from a NASA site, it's a NASA story. January 18th, every 11-year solar activity reaches a fever pitch. You know, every 11 years we hit a peak, and then it goes down. Solar flares erupt near sunspots on a daily basis. Coronal mass ejections, billion-ton clouds of magnetized gas fly away from the sun, buffet the planets. Even the sun's awesome magnetic field, as large as the solar system itself, begins to grow unstable and flips. It's a turbulent time called solar max. Now, the most recent and ongoing solar max crested in mid-2000. I've been telling you this for a long time. Sunspot counts were higher than they'd been in 10 years. Solar activity, indeed intense. One remarkable eruption on July 14th, called the so-called Steel Day event, sparked brilliant auroras as far south as Texas. We saw them here in the desert. Electrical brownouts and temporarily disabled some satellites. Well, after that, sunspot counts slowly declined, and the sun was relatively quiet for month-long stretches. Solar max was subsiding, as things should be. But now, as 2002 unfolds, it's back. The sun is again peppered with spots. Eruptions are frequent, according to David Hathaway, a solar physicist at the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. The current solar cycle appears, he says, to be double peaked. And guess what? The second peak has arrived. So, if you want to read this entire article, it's on my website right now at artbell.com. I think the sun affects just about everything that happens in one way or another, and I think that's probably a pretty good conclusion to have. And so they are admitting we have this weird double peak. Should have been over in 2000, but here it is again in 2002, coming back like El Nino at halftime. Here's a kind of a, upsetting story. Maybe I'll hold the upsetting story for after the break.
Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Coast to Coast AM. It's way out there.
These groups of extraterrestrials that are unfriendly, many of which are hiding down there at the bottom of the ocean, why don't they want us to know about this?
We've lost people in wars with UFOs. You know, we spend a lot of time honoring our heroes, and we have heroes that we don't know about. It's disturbing to that extent because we have a debt to people who've defended us, and we'll never know who they are.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
The following story from Dover, Delaware. Several flesh-eating pet lizards. Now, do you have pet lizards? If you do, you're going to want to pay attention here. Several flesh-eating pet lizards were found feasting on the corpse of their owner in his apartment in Dover. Police were called to this man's apartment. I won't read his unfortunate... his fate is so unfortunate that I just won't read his name. He was actually in Newark, Delaware, and all this happened Wednesday. And his relatives, you know, got worried because they hadn't heard from him for a while. Didn't show up for work, you know, and so they begin looking into what's happened. Has he vanished? Well, no. They found his body on the floor with his pet Nile monitor lizards feeding upon his flesh. The state medical examiner is presently looking at the cause of death, but they recovered seven lizards from his house. The largest was 6 feet long and weighed 25 pounds. That's a big mother of a lizard. No question about it, and you may recall last night Penelope Smith said that we all eventually become food. In this man's case, the process was simply hastened by some days, that's all, really, when you think about it. His pet lizards, who knows how a lizard thinks? I didn't ask about that last night, but it may well be that when we pass, and the lizards, of course, being flesh eaters, realize that their favorite person has now become their favorite meal. I don't know. Here's an interesting story. This really is very, very interesting. You know I'm doing a lot on near-death and death experiences, and I've got something from one of my listeners in Denver, and apparently a very popular newspaper columnist there is dying. And apparently he's been writing columns in the newspaper on exactly what he's going through, describing it to his readers, and today he did an interview on a local television station, and he said that he's been seeing glimpses of people that he doesn't know. His hospice nurse said that it is, in quotes, typical. Many, many, many people, when they're getting close to their time, begin to see other people, people they don't know, people they've never met. And I think what's happening is that people are between this world and that, and they're beginning to get a bit of a glimpse of what that world is like. Fascinating stuff. And I'm telling you all right now, we are getting very much closer, in my opinion, to proving, and we may even prove soon, that there is something after this life. That our consciousness, our mind, whatever you want to call it, the energy, it keeps going. And we retain some kind of... So there may be something over there, you know, and I think we're getting close to proving it. Listen, I'm going to take an extra day off Monday. Got a little business to attend to on Monday. But... And so there's going to be a replay, and what we're going to do is replay Mel's Hole saga. The story of Mel Waters. Mel Waters and his incredible well. If you have never heard this story, It's one you absolutely do not want to miss. Believe me, you don't want to miss this coming up Monday. And then I'll be back Tuesday as usual. All right, so that's kind of an outline of what's going on and some of what I expect to get tonight. It's open lines. What can I say? Let's rock.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Here's Stacey Cohen with The Daily Consumer on XM Satellite Radio.
Well, the feds would like to see a little more privacy online. The Federal Trade Commission says online data brokers should have to show consumers the information they've collected about them. You could hold your breath and wait for this to happen, but it's not something we recommend. Should you have to turn over your Facebook password as part of a job interview? Two U.S. senators don't think so, and they're demanding a Justice Department investigation into what seems to be a common practice these days. What's the worst thing you can do if you're at risk for heart ailments? Well, there's a new study. It says it may be to eat high-fat foods. Avoiding carbs is pretty popular with those trying to lose weight, but the study finds that eating fatty foods, like most meat, it can cause changes that heighten your risk of a heart attack. So, say hello to baked kids. No, don't eat the kids. They've got fat on them, too, until they grow up. And eat that broccoli. That's what's good for you. I'm Stacey Cohen. Learn more at ConsumerAffairs.com.
I believe I have made a significant buy.
Coast to Coast AM earned its reputation with stuff like this.
Hi, this is John B. Wells. Saturday night, best-selling author and Harvard senior researcher David Weinberger and his book, Too Big to Know, Rethinking Knowledge. Now that the facts aren't the facts, experts are everywhere, and the smartest person in the room is the room. Be here Saturday.
Find out what you think of Coast to Coast AM tonight. Get a new view of the world with Coast to Coast AM.
The reason things are happening is because there are millions of you. You're listening. You're doing your own research. You're deciding what's real and what isn't. Listen, if you listen closely, you can hear the Illuminati and the NSA laughing. But you know what? In the end, they work for us. So you are changing things. That's what I hope everyone understands. It's time to just let our political persuasions go and look at the big picture. And let's fight them.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
Hey, incidentally, if you've checked out my webcam photo, I have my favorite little TV FBI t-shirt on. It says FBI Sniper Unit, and you can see that on the webcam photo, but you can never read what's below it. And my wife points out I should pass that on. It says FBI Sniper Unit in big letters. And down below, lower letters that you can't see on the webcam, it says, You can run, but why die tired?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
All right, look, I'm going to be looking for interdimensional beings tonight. I'm going to be looking for your talking pets tonight. I'm going to be looking for levitators, or people who claim they can levitate and are willing to explain how they do it. And I am going to be offering you, and vanishings. We're looking for any stories of plucked from life vanishings. And then, of course, if you could perform one miracle, what would it be? Other than that, open lines, any of those lines are free for any of those responses. And so we begin. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. This is Dean calling from Tampa, Florida.
Hello, Dean.
How are you tonight?
I'm spiffy.
Excellent. You'd mentioned the miracle. That's a tough one, sir.
If you had one miracle, only one. Now, you could make it for yourself. You could make it for the world. Well, it's a miracle. It could be anything.
Yes, sir.
What would you go for?
Well, sir, it's just much like a wish. It's hard to decide, but I would make it for the world, sir. And what that would be is almost, in a sense, it'd be a moment of clarity, and almost a return to childlike innocence, because I think that's the one thing that we've lost. So much of us as adults, as we get older, we tend to lose a lot of the freedom of the mind, the ability to see more than just what's in front of us. I think, because I can remember as a child, I remember seeing so much more.
Oh, yes.
And now, as we get more older, we get more cluttered by it. And I think that's truly what I would do, sir. I would give everybody a moment of clarity to return back to that childlike innocence, to where we want to learn so much. Because when you look into a child's eyes, they just want to absorb everything. Everything to them is just new and marvelous and wonderful in the world itself.
Well, see, the thing is, you've already absorbed.
Oh, I know.
Right? I mean, I remember that. You look at a table and, oh, my God, look at this. Wow, look how it curves down here. And you're just learning, and everything in the whole world is new, and you're learning about everything new. But now you have already absorbed.
And return to that moment of clarity, but what it takes... opt-in is sometimes when you want to reach that highest mountain, you might have to climb down that deepest valley and reach within yourself and look into the mind's eye and actually yourself and look and also look into your past and look at where you've been to actually, you know, maybe see where your present and future lie. And I think in a sense, too, that can almost open up that clarity again and get in touch with your inner child.
All right. Good wish. Thank you very much that everybody would have that instant moment of clarity when everything was new again and everything was an adventure again. And actually, I think you can pretty much live your life that way anyway, if you strive. That's what he was saying. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Marcus from Kansas City area.
KCMO country.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
First, I must say congratulations.
On what?
About Rush and...
Well, you know, look, he got the cochlear implant. On the one hand, it's a technical miracle, but there's something way beyond going on here. Way beyond. It's unbelievable.
I think it is. I think it brightened up my whole day. And
it did mine, too.
And it makes me think the question of a miracle. That's the only thing I'd be safe asking for would be the miracle of, stand up, Stogie, because she's going to talk to us. It would be healing people. That'd be the only thing I could safely ask for and be confident that it would be okay. Sit up, Stogie. Now, my dog is Stogie.
Stogie?
Stogie, sit up.
You call your dog Stogie?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
She looks like Smoke. I didn't want to call her Smoke.
And what can Stogie do?
Well, she does all kinds of tricks, but I'm going to have her sit up. Get up.
Can't even get her to sit up.
Well, I'm going to say, she's going to say hi to everybody.
Really?
Yep. Sit down. Sit. Now, Stogie, say hi. This is Art. Come on, you just speak to me. Say hi. Say hi. Come on. Say it. Speak. Say hi. She'll do it right now. Come on. Come on, baby. You want a treat? You want to say hi? Speak. Speak to me. Come on. Do it. She was just doing it a second ago. She'll do it right now. Well, come on, Stogie. Say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Speak. Say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Come on. Open your mouth. Say hi. Do you love me? Do you love me? You hear that?
I heard that.
Okay,
I don't know if I heard hi.
Okay, let me try it one more time.
I heard...
Stogie, say hi to me. Say hi. Come on, say hi. Say hi. Come on, do it. Speak to me. Say hi. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Say hi. Speak. Say hi. Say hi. Hi. That's the closest she's going to get tonight. She does real well, though.
Well, it's inevitable. You know, you put the phone there, it's like Stogie saying, hey, what do you think this is? I don't do this for everybody.
You can, though, can't you? So one more time? One more time?
You
want to
try it once more? Once more.
Speak, though.
Come on, Stogie.
Say it. Come on, baby. Say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Come on. Say hi. Speak it. Come on. You can do it. Say hi. Speak. Speak. Come on. Hi. Say hi. Say hi. Come on. Say hi. I'll give you a treat. Do you love me? Do you love me? Stogie, do you love me? There you go.
Oh, I'll be damned.
She gets closer than that, but that's good enough for tonight. And I thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yo, you're very welcome. Thank you. Stogie finally coughed up something. I don't know if it wasn't exactly high, but it did sound like an attempt to make a human sound, didn't it? I wonder if Stogie gives out a good clear high at other times. That's cool. That's really neat. Now, I don't know why animals would do that, why they would actually learn a human word, but apparently they can. To hear a dog speak is pretty weird stuff. We'll see what happens by the time the night is over. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Seeing the Other Side, Tom, in Mesa, Arizona, 550 KFYI.
Yes, sir.
Well, a couple of comments. One, interdimensional.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may be, at least alternate reality-wise.
You may be an interdimensional being?
Yes, sir.
Well,
I transitioned from where I was to this alternate reality via the high power of a car electrical system and a 3-watt motor bag cell phone.
What? Let's try that again. A car battery.
A car electrical system.
An entire car electrical system.
And a
cell phone.
The 3-watt Motorola bag cell phone was directly wired into the system in my amateurish fashion.
Yes, and?
And, you know, you punch enough numbers, like especially phoning home and letting one or two rings go home and letting them know you arrived at your destination safe and sound.
Yes.
plus the high energy of a car electrical system that found a...
You believe what? That you well, now, 3 watts is pretty powerful for a cell phone, no question about that, and you probably irradiated your brain.
Well, alternate reality transition didn't take much more of a breeze for Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life.
Well, what kind of alternate reality did you step into?
Well, things only seem slightly out of place here from what I remember where I was. But a comment on music?
Yes?
Phil Collins. He has some newer stuff, 80s, maybe 90s stuff.
Yes.
He has a lyric in one of his songs that you might be interested in.
And that would be?
Shadows with no substance in the shape of men.
Ah, you're right. Thank you. Shadow people, of course. The topic that is, shadow people. It never stops. Ever since we began, I've been getting a steady flow of information on shadow people. It has never stopped. I've had thousands and thousands of emails on the subject. Interesting times, to be sure. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
First I have to prod him with my electromagnetic stun gun facilitator here to get him to talk a little bit here. There we go. We got a little electricity there. Okay, now, can you talk to the art mix? Can you talk to him? What is that talking? Was that talking?
Hit him with a gun again, sir.
Okay, let's get the gun out. There we go. That's at 400,000 water, I think.
Okay.
There we go.
That'll get him going.
Does that scare you? You going to talk to him? You better start talking. I know. I'll try the old harmonica.
Now you're hurting the animal.
I think they're saying, shut that thing.
You know what?
What was that?
You know, that's it. You know what my comment is? That dog wasn't even phased with the 400,000 volts. But that harmonica, that hurt. That obviously put that poor animal into pain. Oh, boy, the nighttime. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Art.
Your name is Art?
No. My name is Art.
Yeah, that's true. My name is Art.
Name is Richard.
Richard, okay.
Yeah, I'm a technician for National Geographic. I've been trying to get a hold of you for the last 2 days here.
Are you now? What do you know? What do you know about the city off the coast of Cuba?
Nothing. I just came back from the Antarctic.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we were doing a landmass measurement.
Yes, sir.
It's growing down there.
The Antarctic is growing?
Yeah, it grew 10 inches this year. Well, last year.
Actually, there is a story out right now with regard to the Antarctic that it's actually getting colder in certain places. It's a very odd story that it's getting colder in certain places or parts or regions of the Antarctic, and other regions of the Antarctic are getting warmer. And, of course, we all know about the giant bergs calving off and all the rest of it, things the size of Rhode Island and the danger of the slippage of the mass on land. So there are some strange, but you know what it is? It's the sun. You want to read that article on the sun, go to my website and read. America. Only in America can a pizza get to your house faster than an ambulance. That's true, isn't it? Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way back to the back of the store to get their prescriptions, while healthy people are able to buy cigarettes at the front counter. That's something to think about, isn't it? You ever been in a drugstore? The prescription counter is always absolutely, they're right here, always in the absolute back of the store. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. That's true, isn't it? Only in America do banks leave both doors open and chain the pens to the counters. It's true again. Go to Europe sometime. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put our useless junk in the garage. How many of you do that? It's absolutely true. Over a period of time, garage stuff grows like the Russian whatever it was that splashed down in the Pacific and eats all sea life. That's the way it happens. If you get a garage, no matter how well-intentioned you are, eventually your cars can barely fit in there, and then one day they are ejected. They live outside while the stuff, the garage stuff, lives inside. In America, do we use the word politics to describe the process so well? Poly in Latin meaning many, and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Only in America do they have drive-up ATM machines with Braille lettering. That is a puzzle. I wonder who mandated that one, that drive-up ATMs have Braille lettering. That requires very little thought. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
I'm very curious if you have heard of the Sisters of Phaedra.
The Sisters of, is this some sort of, like, secret organization?
Yeah, it involves girls that make a pact, if they're ever raped, to frame the guy to make it look like a murder by committing suicide.
Whoa. Whoa, that's heavy.
I work part-time as a filmer and storer for adult movies.
Yes.
And I noticed this reoccurring tattoo on the inner thigh or the lower stomach.
The Daughters of Phaedra. Well, Phaedra was a very unlucky Greek goddess, you know. That's what Leah Hazelwood told us the other night, and one of his granddaughters is named Phaedra. It is, there's something fascinating about the name Phaedra. It is a really unique name, and I wonder how our discussion of this now is going to affect the number of people. Is there any way you can find out 9 months or a year from now, after playing this bumper music and talking about the name Phaedra, is there any way 9 months from now to look at birth records across the U.S. and find out how many Phaedras there suddenly are? Anybody know if that can be done? With computers, you ought to be able to do just about anything. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
My name is Lloyd. I was calling to talk about meteors a little bit.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to you about some ideas that we've had. We've been putting out a way to build an entire network of telescopes.
Now, do you mean just meteors, or you probably mean...
I mean Earth killers.
Yeah, Earth killers.
I mean the big ones.
But
not necessarily the biggest ones, not necessarily the giant... golden BB that's out there to take out the whole civilization.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are going to take out tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, according to most of the space agencies, that's the most under-watched and underutilized segment of near-Earth objects.
Right.
And what we've come up with is, with all of these new robotic scopes that have come out, working on ways to build... a software package that's going to catch all these telescopes.
Okay, the only apparent problem, though, is, you know, we had an astronomer on the other night. What he did say is that the one that's coming directly at Earth, the one that's going to hit,
mm-hmm.
is probably the one we are least likely to see.
Yeah. That one is going to be unfortunate. It's going to be very unfortunate. And
yes.
I wonder, my thought is, can we do anything about it? Can we do anything by working, by looking, and by reaching up there? And
you
my
know,
thought is,
here's what I think. I mean, they are the ones that you've got to worry about, because they are the ones that are going to hit you. Yes, now cataloging orbits, that's a good idea, but they only have a certain percentage of those done.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me a satellite out at a point where it would see something coming directly at Earth would be a really, really good idea. What do you think?
I think that would be a wonderful idea. But also, the amateur scopes as well. can help a lot. I think those amateur scopes can be pointed up and can be looking.
Well, again, you're absolutely correct. But according to astronomy, as I understand it, the ones that you do manage to see, you see because of movement relative to Earth. If something is coming directly at Earth, as it was explained the other night, the object would slowly, very, very slowly and incrementally simply get brighter. It would not show a path because there is no path relative to Earth. It's the BB you talked about. And the only way it seems to me that you could see that would be to have a reference point from Earth, which would mean, you know, putting a satellite out there. It's like the one that watches our sun in the appropriate position to see something that would be coming directly at Earth. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
How you doing, Art?
Turn your radio off, please.
It's off.
Okay.
You're talking about stupid things they do in America. They sell cigarettes.
Well,
at
not,
gas stations.
At gas stations?
you can't smoke at gas stations.
I know, but that's perhaps not as stupid as requiring the sick people to go all the way to the back of a, you know, of any store to get to the pharmacy part, while you can buy the cigarettes right there at the counter.
There's another one.
Yes?
Why do they have life rafts on airplanes? I would rather have a parachute. How about you?
Well, if it came to that, me too. You bet. If you could get the door open.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
Holding you is a warmth that I thought I could never find.
Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18, 2002.
How could we figure out how many Phaedras will be born in about a year, 9 months to a year? This is about as close to creation as you can get. We are creating Phaedras. I am convinced of it. Now, how we would get statistics to prove that, I don't know. But I'll bet you a year from now, there's a whole lot more Phaedras out there than there are right now. And somehow we'll find somebody who will bring that stat to us, and I'll say, see, I told you so, in about a year. Phaedra, it is a cool name.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
Of a Friday night, Saturday morning. First time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
This is David from Monterey.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering about the geological effects the Earth has been going through recently.
Yeah.
The volcanoes.
Did you, sir, hear about the volcano in Africa earlier today? Blowing
it on the news, yes.
Unbelievable. A volcano in Africa. Yes, yes.
And there's been predictions by your staff. As I am heard.
Yes.
And also on the man that was on your show recently said, February, watch out, the first week.
That's right.
Do you really think something's going to happen?
I'm seeing what that man said coincide with my radon gas predictor.
Right.
If I had to make a bet, I'd say we're staring down the barrel of an earthquake. But, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows?
One more question.
Sure.
Of all the predictions from scientists and from people claiming, you know, either the devil's going to come and take us all or the sun is going to heat up the earth and bake us.
Yes.
Personally, what do you think is going to happen? That something has to happen with all of this predictions coming up. What do you personally think?
All right. What do I really think? What? I don't know. I don't know any more than the weeks and months. I wrote The Quickening. I understood when I wrote that book that things were changing, exponentially changing at a very rapid pace, and that all of this was headed somewhere. But you see, I'm a talk show host. I am not a psychic. I am not a remote viewer. And I am not a guru of any sort. I interview people of that sort. So, what do I think is going to happen? I don't know. When I wrote the book, The Quickening, I simply had a profound inner sense that we were racing toward some event, some massive, incredible event. That was kind of the whole point of the book, and it documented the changes going on in every aspect of society that pointed to that. Now, that's as far as I can go. Otherwise, I don't see things in dreams. I don't consult a crystal ball, even though I do have one, by the way. I have a crystal ball. I don't consult it and make predictions myself. So that's the best I can do in answering you, sir. I have not developed an absolute belief about anything, but something's coming. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Rick in Toronto, Mojo 640, and CKTB 610.
All right.
We've spoken a few times, actually. The last one, I guess, was Judgment Day, the Anunnaki Indians that were recently discovered in Indonesia somewhere.
Yes.
That's possibly 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
I think we're missing something here. I think there's something really big coming, and I sort of even hate talking about it, because if it is true, I mean, look out.
Well, I think it is true, sir. I mean, something big is coming. I just finished a little talk on exactly that.
That's why I'm calling.
Okay.
That's why I'm calling. I've tried a few times, but I've not gotten through, but this is just got to get through. Technology is at a point now that we can space travel. Consider the fact that our sun may be going supernova.
Oh.
Consider the fact that we may have, the span of this Earth may be soon to pass us by, and we are not able to pass the torch on to another Earth.
Well, that may be, it may be, maybe our sun will go supernova. And in order to rid us or wipe us off the planet, as a horse would whip a fly off its backside with its tail, wouldn't be all that hard. The sun could do it very easily indeed. In fact, one thing astronomers have determined, surprisingly, shockingly, is that a lot of suns, exactly like ours, thought to be stable, are not. They're not at all stable, and they are rather likely to spit out something that would be a planet killer, and they observe it happening in the heavens now, so that could occur from our sun, which is thought to be a relatively stable sun, as suns go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, the Yardmeister.
Yes, sir. Ma'am, I'm sorry. Where are you?
This is Barb from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Barb.
I called you before about someone that could talk to kitties. Remember?
Vaguely, yes.
Yes. Well, if I tried to get you last week, and I couldn't. I couldn't get through. So when you asked a question, what would you do if you were God?
Oh, that was last week.
Uh-huh. And I couldn't get through. So my miracle,
okay.
If I were God for a day.
God for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I would all the mysteries to be solved, all the answers that plague mankind to be answered, finally.
I wonder if that would
all
be
all the truths to be known.
Now you're piling things
and,
up here.
And then I'd get my, and then I'd sit back in my throne.
Yes.
With a big tall glass and a huge bowl of popcorn, and I would. Watch what happens.
Yeah, well,
can you spell chaos, boys and girls?
it's Barb Hoagland. All right, yes, indeed, I agree with her. Chaos, indeed. If suddenly all the answers were known, all the problems solved, everything resolved, it would be absolute, utter chaos. If the totality of truth were to be told always from one person to another, it would be all over. It would be all over within hours. Absolutely within hours. If everybody suddenly had to start telling the truth. Huh. Huh. The murders, the mayhem, the pillaging, the rape. It would be beyond the pale. It would just be... The world couldn't handle it. And I know a lot of you are sitting back and saying, that's ridiculous. The truth would... No, it wouldn't. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Paul, and I'm in San Diego.
Hello, Paul.
You mentioned you wanted to hear about a vanishing, and I have had one experience with a vanishing that has troubled me for years. And, you know, I forget about it, and then I just remembered it when you...
When I brought it up.
When you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you about it. Have you ever experienced a Midwestern blizzard?
Yes.
I mean, it can be blinding.
As well as one in the Northeast. I've been in plenty of blizzards, so yes.
Well, I was a state trooper, and this was in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a car on the side of the road up to its axles in snow. And I said, come on, get in, I'll take you over to the high school. And he said, well, no, I'm going to stay with my car.
Hmm.
I'm not under arrest, am I? I said, no, you didn't do anything. I'd just like to get you out of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see a gas station. And he said, I'm going to go to the gas station. And I said, you're really not dressed for it. It's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said, I'll be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm. You sound like officer. He sounds like citizen.
Yeah. And he... takes off walking for the gas station.
Citizen, I might add, with small attitude.
Yes. Yeah, well, he is free to do what he feels like.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And so then I had a couple of other people I was trying to help, and so I did not, at the moment, I made a kind of a mental note, look for the guy in a few minutes, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then I had some other people that I was helping, and I got them over to the high school.
Right.
And I came around to the station that he was going to, which was Gordy Shell Station, and I said, did a guy show up from over on the road? He said, what guy?
Yep.
He just took off a few minutes ago to come here. And he said, no, nobody's been here. So I was troubled by it. I couldn't find him. I went back looking. I couldn't find him.
Was the car still there?
The car was there.
Okay.
So then the next day, I actually daylight checked to see where was the guy.
Sure.
And the guy is not there, but the car is there. So now the next watch puts a tag on the car.
Right.
The car sits there for about 5 days. There's no indication that anyone's in the snow. I walked up and down the snow looking for this guy because it's troubling me. You can't just disappear.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
The answer is, yes, you can.
A finite object can just evaporate.
Yes, it can.
And
it's happened all over the world, and it's reported in various ways, and people just, it just sort of gets, it eventually, it falls through the cracks. I mean, somebody can just disappear, and they do. They vanish, and it's a perfect case you're telling us about.
Yeah, and the car went to a tow yard, and no one ever claimed it. And he never went home to wherever he came from. And I did get the address by running the registration.
Was it a broken down wreck, or was it a fairly new car?
It was a nice, it was a Lincoln Town Car,
You wouldn't abandon one of those. All right, so you say you got his address?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Never showed up. And he was missing.
And to this very day, as far as you know, still gone?
And the record, the bureaucracy shows that the car was abandoned.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a gas station and apparently changed his state of attention.
I can't tell you how I appreciate your call. But that is exactly what I'm talking about. It has happened more than you know. People in this world, in the middle of their everyday lives, are apparently just plucked from life. Pulled instantly from life. As in a total disappearing act, it has happened more than once. Let me remind you of some of the things that I would like you to call about tonight. Perform one miracle, and one lady got carried away and she put a whole lot of miracles in there. But it did add up to chaos, she was right. Well, anyway, just one miracle, what would it be? We would like a line dedicated, these are all lines really, to vanishings. And you just heard a story of a vanishing. To people who claim they can levitate off the ground, actually lift themselves, that's the wrong word, not lift nor jump, but actually float above the ground. And we would like you to explain how you do it. Anybody who can get their pet to talk. That was a funny call. the guy was putting us on, but it was funny. But if your pet can talk, I'm not going to get over that one for a while. And then, of course, interdimensional beings. Any of you claiming to be interdimensional beings? On my first time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. You're asking about miracles?
Yes. If you had the ability to perform one miracle, what would
okay.
it be?
Okay, here it goes.
Yep.
We buried my dad yesterday. He was 85 years old, ex-fireman, had a heart attack, died before he knew what happened, and if I had a miracle, I'd let him live 5 extra days so that our thick Irish family could all tell him how much that he really meant to us, even though he probably knew it, but the Irish just don't seem to have a way to express that.
Well, I was going to say that. He probably knew it anyway. I'm sorry for your loss.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Art, and I'm glad I got through to be able to say that. Maybe he somehow heard me.
You know what? There's a really good chance of that, actually. Thank you. I'm increasingly believing that. The story about the columnist back in the Midwest is very interesting. He is actually chronicling his own death. Something that I guess I could see happening, somebody who's dying has a very fatal disease, but it's going to take a while, and they begin to chronicle what's going on. And what has begun to happen to him is that he's seeing people he doesn't know. And I'm not talking about in the waking hours. He is actually beginning to see visions of people that he doesn't know. Now, the hospice people are saying this is not at all unusual, that people in the last stages of life do that. They begin seeing people they don't know, as if they are truly there physically in every way you can imagine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Ooh, that's off my radio.
Yes, you do.
I was responding to your earlier stupid things Americans do.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about how can people complain about the economy and deficits, yet one of the biggest contributors to our bad economy is we import more than we export.
Well, we're consumers. What can I say? You know, we consume. We buy. We like stuff.
But we'd be better off if we tried to
export more than we import.
Oh, absolutely. Or
well, we export a lot of stuff. We export entertainment. We're the number one movie producer in the world. We export technology. We export information. We export some stuff, sir. If you want to think about something that it doesn't seem logical when you really do think about it. You know, when we do execute somebody in this country,
mm-hmm.
we give them a lethal injection, correct?
Right.
Why do you think they are always extremely careful to sterilize the needles that they use to give the lethal injection?
Right. Yeah, that is kind of stupid.
You have a good morning, sir.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
From the High Desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Anything you want to talk about, pick one of the ones that I tossed out from all of you collectively. I picked about a half dozen. Or anything you want. It's an Open Lines morning.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
For the truth, you'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
All the guys from the neighborhood keep saying you sure look good with your blue eyes. Pretty blue eyes. Saw you from my window. My heart is a beat. By your doorstep, so that I can see pretty blue eyes. Please come out today so I can tell you what I have to say, that I love you, love you, pretty blue eyes. Saw you from my window, my heart just a beat. By your doorstep, so that I can meet pretty blue eyes. Please come out today so I can tell you what I have to say, that I love you, pretty blue eyes.
Now, we take you back to the past. on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here, and you know the topics, and you know that it's open lines and anything you want to talk about, so it's coming on right after this.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Don in Victoria, B.C. writes, Art, this is the God's honest truth, he swears. My cat came in one morning and said hello. Well, my wife swears that our cats occasionally whisper to her. You know, they come up in bed, right up to our faces, you know, if we're having a good long sleep, which we tend to get on the weekends. Our cats don't like that. They want us up. They want us playing with them and doing stuff with them. So they come in and they come right up to our faces and they watch us. You know, probably the rapid eye movement going on attracts them or who knows what. But they come right up and they're, sometimes you open your eyes and you look and there are two cat eyes staring straight at you. It's unnerving. I'm saying hello, maybe. I don't know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. Calling about from Portage, Michigan, about few years ago, there was a mass vehicle abduction.
A mass vehicle abduction?
Yeah, where the guy who I read this from offline said that you know about a good 20 cars were taken off the highway, and you know it was taken different directions facing when this was all over, and no accidents apparently and all that.
But they just disappeared.
Yeah, and before that though, he saw a UFO.
Well,
the light enveloped his car. You know, I couldn't hear his radio. That's, couldn't remember a thing afterwards. He was heading through my town to, meet some of his friends.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. That's pretty weird. I'd love to see an account of that in a newspaper or something. You don't have anything, do you?
I have a website.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, well, don't say it here.
Okay.
Email it to me, and if it's relevant, we'll get it up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, again, regarding what's going on with NASA finally saying, guess what, folks? We're having a double peak solar cycle. We've got that story on my website right now. You really might want to read that. I told you the sun was whacked out. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Is that me? Hi, Art.
Yes.
My name's Consuela. I'm calling from Roswell, New Mexico.
Consuela from Roswell.
Consuela. I wrote you a letter, but it was like...
It bounced?
No. It just kind of got hung up in the anthrax.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Me too, because I have a great idea, and I'd love to talk to you about it sometime. But I am like a hardcore fan. I've been listening to you for over 10 years, and... I could talk to you for hours, because all the things you talk about, I can tell you stories.
Well, pick your number one.
Okay, I have a very bizarre NDE story for you.
Okay.
And it's kind of a dual thing. I think it's like a family trait, because my mother, 45 years ago, lost a child after I was born.
Right.
And... I can remember her telling me, and now she won't talk about it now, but one time when she was very stressed, we discussed it, because we were talking about religion and stuff.
Right.
And she said that the pain was so excruciating and so intense that she just left her body, and that she just kind of hung out up in the corner of that operating room, watched the whole operation, went out to the waiting room, tried to comfort my dad, who was, freaking out that she might die. And then, when she came back after the surgery, she just kind of knew that she had to go back because she had two little kids she had to go take care of. And so she went back, and she's still in her body 76 years later. And then this other one is my uncle, who... was 89 years old, fell down, broke his hip, had to be put in the hospital. He was losing weight, not eating, not well.
Mm.
And he died, the doctor came in, pronounced him dead. They called the children, my cousins. One of them was in, like, Canada on a fishing expedition. One was, you know, they were across the country, so he was dead for, like, a long time.
Yes.
And then, like, 5 hours later,
he woke up.
Yes. He sat up and said, you know what, I am really hungry, and I feel like I haven't eaten for weeks.
That's incredible. All right, well, that goes along with the story I read you the other night. Only this one went, unfortunately, a little further. They had this guy in a casket, just about on the conveyor belt to be cremated when he woke up. That would be a really upsetting thing to occur. And by the way, I forgot to tell you about a picture that I was sent the other day. I don't know where this is, but it was an operating room somewhere. And, you know, you could see the surgeon and the surgical techs and the nurses and the machines and a patient. And way up high, above the operating room, there was a sign that said, if you can read this, you're dead. Dr. Humor, I guess. You know, so many stories of people rising up that I thought, I guess doctors are partial to some gallows humor. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. I just want to say, first of all, what a huge fan I am. I work nights, and you make it great.
Thank you.
I have a couple things. First of all, about the people in hospice that said in the last stages of life,
yes,
a lot of times they'll see people. When my grandmother was dying for about a week before she passed away,
mm-hmm.
She was in Florida at my aunt's house. We would call her, and she would tell us about all the people that were in the hallways and in her room.
That's right.
And that I just kind of wanted to add to that and validate it, too.
Well, it means something. I'm unwilling to believe that it's sort of the brain shutting down. Baloney. These stories are too consistent. They're seeing people that they've never seen before, total strangers, in the physical, as you point out, in hallways, in the room where they are. They're seeing them all around them. No, this means something.
Absolutely. Another kind of weird thing is when I was very young, we had a close friend of the family who lived with my grandparents, and my brother woke up one morning, he couldn't have been more than 5 years old, and said, I saw Clinton flying. We got a call 20 minutes later that
Clinton?
He had passed away that night.
Who's Clinton?
Clinton was the friend of the family.
Oh, you don't mean our ex-president?
No.
Okay,
oh,
well,
God, no. This man was flying. He had a dream at 5 years old that he was flying, and we woke up to a phone call right after he'd said it, that this man had died that night.
No, there were a lot of people who wanted to see the other Clinton flying.
Oh, I know. I'm sure.
I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Yes, there were quite a few. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is a little bit different. It has to do with UFOs, I guess.
Okay.
But it is missing time. Well, it's not really missing time. My mother passed away in 1998. My cousin and I were coming back from, from Visalia.
Yes.
We were coming over Mojave.
Right.
And she had to go to the bathroom. In fact, we were listening to your tapes. And all of a sudden, I said, okay, 5 minutes, we'll go down here to Brownies, get gas, and go on to Las Vegas.
Sure.
We went 89 miles. 89 miles in less than 5 minutes. And we were going past Baker.
Really?
And I freaked out, and I saw, and there was this big, like, cylindrical-shaped cloud, and I said, oh, my God, and I started getting the ringing, because I just had abduction and things. And
people have not yet admitted it, but for years I have been talking about something called the Baker Triangle.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It gets weirder, Art.
Weird things happen in the Baker area, and before and after Baker, that is one strange stretch of road, believe me.
Well, I'll make this real brief, but there's one more tail end to it.
Yes.
We got off the road. We found this really strange place, like it had been built in the 40s or 50s or something, turnstile bathroom and all that. Mm-hmm. And the people in it looked like they were stilted. There was very little stuff to sell in, you know, like sodas or anything like that.
People looked People looked like they were what?
Stilted, you know, like the Twilight Zone, you know what I mean? There were some cars, there was some dust, you know, like following us. On this dirt road, but
yes.
when we left there, nobody said goodbye, and my cousin said, I really want to get out of here. She said, this is just too weird for me. There were about five people around, three or four calls.
Yes.
I want to go back and see if that place is really there. I'm kind of scared to, though.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And there are some pretty strange places out here in the American desert. There really are. Some pretty strange things have happened out here in the very, very remote desert. And a lot of people have always said, well, how come this stuff always happens out there where there's absolutely nobody? And, well, just because it does. And there is an area between Los Angeles and Las Vegas that you pass through called Baker, California, and there is a strange sort of, I call it the triangle, I just picked that name, you know, the Baker Triangle, so people would understand what I mean. But within a certain range of Baker in almost any direction, some pretty strange things have happened. I mean, really strange. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hello, Art.
Hi.
You were talking about miracles.
Yes, sir.
If I could make a miracle, I would make the entire world one race of telepaths.
It would be the end of the world, sir.
I don't know. I think that would be quite interesting, actually, to...
Maybe like the other person, you'd get a tall drink, sit back in a chair, and watch the chaos ensue. I mean, if everybody could literally read everybody else's mind, I can assure you, the murders, the suicides, the divorces, it would be, of course, then I suppose it might all settle out, you know, after all the idiots had killed each other.
Right.
Maybe those left would be the new society.
Okay, well, how about just one race, then?
One race?
One race.
Well, you mean, and everybody would be, like, exactly the same color?
Everyone would be the same race, yes. Everyone would have, there wouldn't be white people or black people or Indians or...
Well, what would there be?
There would just be the human race.
I know, but what color would it be?
I don't know. I suppose it would have to be a blend of everything.
Which would be roughly gray, right?
I believe it would more be a brown.
Or a brown. But then, you see, the lighter browns would hate the darker browns.
No. All even.
Exactly the same
all
color?
All even. All skin tones the same.
All right. Well, that I don't know what that would do. If we couldn't pick out differences to bitch at each other about, discriminate about, what would we do? If everybody was exactly the same shade of brown, what then? That would change the world, wouldn't it? If everybody was exactly the same color. Of course, it wouldn't be quite as exotic. I mean, you must admit, it is interesting looking at exotic people. A certain Asians and Polynesians and Africans and, you know, they are so exotic and so different and so interesting to look at. But I suppose the baggage that comes along with that for some people... Yeah. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art Bell.
Hi. Extinguish thy radio.
Oh, I'm 14 years old. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
And I wanted to wonder, on that miracle thing, if I had one miracle to pick out of any other, I would pick to make sure that Bin Laden and that the world terrorist on September 11th would never happen.
You mean you'd go back in time?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a good thing to wish for, but unfortunately it has happened. So your miracle, if you had a miracle you could perform that would have, you know, now, I mean, you can't go back in time. Something you could perform now, what would it be?
Well, I'd make sure he got caught.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, we've got a bunch of people over there working really hard on that right now. Quite a bit of speculation that he might be dead. They were saying he needed dialysis. Now, he might have a complete dialysis setup in a big cave somewhere. You can certainly imagine Bin Laden, with all his money, would have a dialysis machine at his beck and call, wouldn't you? And a generator. So I don't think he's dead. I know they're saying he is, but I don't think so. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
This is Sheila from Imperial Beach in California.
Sheila.
Yes. And if I were God, the one miracle I would like to perform would be a fun one. I'd like to lift the oceans and lift the polar ice caps for maybe 7 days and let us all see what's really under there.
Now, that's not half bad. I would really love to see what's under the ice.
Yes.
And for that matter, under the oceans.
Oh, yes, because nobody really knows the depths of in any of it.
You know, there is a possible catch to what you would do, though.
Mm-hmm.
All the dead fish. Oh, God.
Well, if you lift the oceans, I mean, everything, you know, living would float up with it.
I see.
So it wouldn't be like slimy and grimy.
I see. All right. I've got it. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. To lift all of the oceans and the ice caps, that would be something. What do you think we would find under the very deepest recesses of the ice, where they can only, you know, even core partially down, they can't go all the way? What do you think might be under? Some ancient civilization buried suddenly by ice? Probably. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
Is this Art Bales?
No, that's singular. There are two of us. There's Ramona, so I guess we are Bells, but Art Bell, actually.
West of the Rockies, call toll-free, 1-800-618-8255.
Okay, I've got to cut that out. I'm sorry. The one thing you're not allowed to do on the program...
Your last name. I'm sorry.
You can't use your last name, so just give us your first name only.
Well, it's my nickname's The Hammer.
Okay.
All right. And can you want me to go tell you what my miracle would be or whatever?
This looks like miracle night. Yes, sir, if you could perform but one miracle.
Okay, my one miracle would be is I believe that everybody is put here for a mission to accomplish in their lifetime, and my mission is to give people hope. And what I'd do is I'd build concert stadiums throughout the United States, and I'd build theme parks like Worlds of Fun and Six Flags Over America or Walt Disney World.
Really?
And then I'd have restaurants, and I would buy football teams and baseball teams and basketball teams, and the money that I'd make off of these businesses.
Well, this is easy, sir. All you need to do is reincarnate as Ted Turner, and you're there.
Well, I wrote a letter to Bill Gates to ask him for some money, and he never did answer me back. But the people that were
he didn't write back to you.
No, but his people, his secretaries that answered the phone and all that, they thought it was a great idea. And I said, well, say a prayer that he would get it and, you know, like the ideas. But here's the main thing of it is what I do is people that are 60 years and older.
Yes.
They would get free pharmacy medicine, because if it wasn't for our fathers and our grandfathers, we wouldn't be here living in this world. We'd be over in another world, like, you know, the worlds that are throughout the world, you know, that are really kind or not kind.
Do you think you can also mandate that the pharmacies move themselves closer to the front of the stores in which they are ensconced? I mean, is it not cruel to make poor, old, infirm people walk all the way to the back of the store, which is always where they put the pharmacy?
No, it'd be out in the front part of the store. We would ship it to them.
And then you put the cigarettes in the back. Those people could use the exercise.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you know, in the name of the concert stadiums, the name of the football stadiums, the name of the theme parks would be I Give You Hope. And I feel that God put me here to give hope to the people, but he didn't give me the money to do it. He just gave me the ideas to put to the people out that's got the money, like Bill Gates, you know, because...
Well, keep writing to him. In fact, the person you really ought to write to is Ted Turner. I mean, you sound like another Ted Turner. Ted has done a lot of that stuff. Seems, definitely. He's done a lot of good works. I don't know that he's built any. Has he built a theme park? I'm not sure whether he's done that or not. I don't think so. But it's something he would do. Trying to think of a good name for it right now. The Ted Turner Theme Park. What would you call it? I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Friday night, Saturday morning, folks. Great night. Love it. Open lines all night long. Anything you want to talk about is fair game.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18, 2002.
Good morning, everybody. Open lines, Friday night, Saturday morning style. We are discussing a whole variety of things. We're discussing interdimensional beings, or looking for them, if that would be you. We are listening for pets that can talk. My, what an episode we've had there. Levitators, anybody able to levitate off the ground? We are talking about vanishings. That's particularly interesting. And then, of course, the miracle question. If you could perform one but one miracle, what would that be? And if you've thought it over very carefully, would it really be a miracle or would it be a curse?
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
All right, once again, back to the lines. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, my name's Lorraine. I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Hi, Lorraine.
And I have a vanishing story.
Oh. Okay.
And it's really weird. It's with an animal.
Okay.
A cat. And I do markets. I'm a vendor. And I make crafts and stuff, and I sell them downtown in Las Cruces.
Right.
And where I sell them, they have these awnings and these I-beams that go across from one side to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And they're open awnings. And one morning I'm sitting there and I'm watching this cat on the roof. And it comes over, walking over the I-beam and comes over towards me. And I watch it and it turns around and starts walking back. And then turns crosswise on the I-beam and steps off. And this is like 10 foot in the air.
Yes.
And it just disappeared. It didn't land on the floor.
You mean it stepped off into clear air and
yes.
just poof, went away?
Yes.
Ha 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 ha.
And I'm not joking. I'm,
oh, no, I know.
I'm sitting there and I'm looking and I'm going to my friend, Karen, did you see this cat? She goes, yeah, I saw the cat cross the I-beam. I said, no. I got up and I walked to see if there was a ledge that it stepped on. Nothing, just a rectangle, just smooth steel. And I'm like, the cat just disappeared. And it's like...
Well, now, you know, I never anticipated I might actually talk to somebody who has seen a vanishing. That's really unusual. We were just sort of talking about stories of vanishings, but
yes.
to actually hear one like this is really weird. It really just in front of your eyes.
In front of my eyes, I'm staring, you know, sitting there, and I'm watching this cat, and it was a gray tabby, you know, kind of fluffy, and it just turned crosswise like it was just going to jump off.
And poof.
And it just disappeared.
Oh.
And I'm like, Karen, that cat just disappeared. She goes, no, it must have jumped on the gazebo over there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, it just disappeared.
Well, if you've seen it with your own eyes, son, that's all you have to know. And I appreciate the story.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That's weird. Well, if vanishings are real, in other words, if people and animals for sure, I mean, how many animals are thought to have just run away, right? Well, how many of those might be vanishings? When you vanish, where do you go? It does occur to people, and they are simply never found nor heard from again. Some, you could imagine, are resting easily with the zillions of dollars down in South America with the native girls fanning them and bringing them little drinks with umbrellas or whatever. But I think a lot of them are just plain gone, and maybe in the fashion that lady just said the cat went. Just gone. Wildcard line, you're on the air, huh?
Yeah. All right, if I had a miracle...
If you could perform one miracle?
If I could perform one miracle, I would eliminate pain and suffering from the world. From all people.
I wonder if that would be a miracle. I mean, obviously, the pain and suffering would be gone, but have you ever wondered about this? Without pain, without suffering, how do you know what joy is?
Well, that's a point, but I can sure do without it.
Yeah, well, I hear that. All right, thank you very much. All right, really, from a broader perspective, if all pain and suffering were suddenly gone, what would be the reference to understand the good times or the joy? Isn't pain and suffering something that really must be there? At the macro level, I understand you say, oh, well, my God, how can you... possibly justify seeing this person in terrible pain. Well, you can't. But when you look at the larger picture, without pain and suffering, it's designed, you know, to be there for a reason, and I think that reason is so that you might know the moments of joy and happiness. Otherwise, would they mean anything to us? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
My name is Joycelyn. And I live in Kansas City, Missouri.
All right, Joycelyn.
Uh-huh, and I've been listening to you for a long, long time. I'm 77 years old, and you keep me company at night.
Well, I'm glad.
I know you are. You're just the dearest of people. But anyway, if I could perform a miracle, I would make it so that all the deaf people could hear.
All the deaf people could hear.
Mm-hmm. You just have no idea. I live with it, and my son was born deaf, and he's still with me after all these years, but that's beside the point. What I really wanted to call you too about is you have some bumper music that just drives me wild, and I don't know what it is, and I can't find out from anybody that I ask, and it's the one where the lady sings No Control and Down the Streets of My Soul.
Yes, let me see here.
What is that?
I believe, let's see if this is the one you're talking about. If it is, then I'll tell you who it is,
okay.
All right? I can't always do this because I don't always know myself.
I know that's the reason I've hesitated for so long calling you, but that's what everybody tells me to do, so I've done it.
You know, I collect this music, and
I know you do, and it's beautiful.
I find the music that I like. All right, see if this is what we're talking about here. Is that it?
That's it. Oh, I love it.
I do too. I know. It's me. Anyway, that is called Self Control, and it's by Laura Branigan.
Laura? How do you spell that last name?
Branigan.
Branigan. Oh, like good old Irish Branigan.
That's right.
Okay, well, I'm Irish too, so I don't know. Branigan. Oh, God, thank you so much. You think I can get it?
Of course you can get it.
Okay.
Just go to the local record store and say that's what you want. Sing a little bit of it for them. They'll get it.
Sing worth a darn, all right. That just haunts me.
Me too.
Okay, well, thank you so much, and I love you.
Thank you. Take care. That's how I pick music. I just slowly, over the years, I collect the music that I like or that I think is relevant or that sends little chills down my spine, and for the most part, that's what I use as bumper music. Hello there, West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
That would be me.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I was watching television one night. My cat was chasing the nothing.
As cats always do, they chase nothings, yes.
However, she jumps up in the air and she grabs something, and it was making an odd noise like...
You're kidding. You mean your cat actually got something and you heard your cat?
I heard it. I saw it. It was moving so fast on the floor when she had it.
Uh-huh.
And she jumps back and it disappeared.
Now, I wonder if there just might have been a flash of a moment when you were seeing in the range your cat was, or whether this thing suddenly appeared sufficiently in this dimension for you to catch a glimpse. I wonder which it was. And more than a glimpse, you heard it, huh?
I heard it,
what
yeah.
What kind of sound?
Like, well, have you ever heard lightning or power light? I mean, you've been to a power line or something, you kind of hear that noise?
Yes.
It was kind of like that, and it was moving so fast I could barely see it. And she jumps back and was gone.
That's pretty weird.
And then she chased, you know, went off chasing the nothing again.
Well, there you have it. The first report of a cat's nothing actually being something. That's cool, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Now, isn't that interesting? I wonder how much more of that there is out there. How many of you have caught a glimpse of your cat's nothing? And maybe even more than a glimpse, a sound, as this man heard. Well, that's really interesting, because it goes right into the pot with the lifting or the thinning of the veil between, I don't know, dimensions or whatever is on the next side. I am convinced it is thinning, as you know, and so we will get more reports like the one we just heard. Fascinating. First time caller line, you're on the air, hi.
Art?
Yes.
This is Dan.
Hello.
In Evansville, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
I heard a repeat of one of your shows about rods.
Oh, yes, rods.
Yeah, have you heard any more about them? Are you going to have Jose, was that his name?
Jose Escamilla.
Yeah, back on the show?
Yes. As he develops more evidence for rods, and it's already very conclusive, we will, of course, have him back, yes.
Well, could that have been what that last caller... His cat scene, do they go inside?
The only thing that I've never heard about a rod is that it makes noise. Rods have always been silent. And that man said that whatever this cat had, it made a noise kind of like a very high-voltage electrical line.
Uh-huh.
So that sounded a little different. But back to rods again, I'm convinced they're real. The video is extremely compelling.
Yeah, I was watching a TV show, and I think I might have seen one. It was a live show, and it looked like one. It just, you know, passed through the screen.
That's right.
So
that's how Jose has found many of those the rods that he has documented on TV shows and movies. The camera catches them.
Uh-huh.
before the human eye.
Right.
Then, of course, you can slow it down and you can see the rod. So the answer to your question is, of course, I think he has a very, very compelling case. Jose Escamilla is a very interesting person. He has made what I consider to be a valid discovery about an apparent life form that coexists on this planet with us all around us. Increasingly, people are beginning to see these things as well, or catch glimpses of them. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Susan from Denver, KHOW 630.
Hey, Susan.
Hello. I have a cat that loves to talk, and he's not a Siamese.
You mean as in human words?
Well, sort of. He answers questions.
Like what?
Well, usually just, what do you want? What are you doing?
What do you want? Fish.
Yeah, well, no. Let me see if I can wake him up.
Oh, you're going to try
that. Kent, what do you want? What? Kent. Yeah, sure. Now he won't do it, right?
No, of course. What has your cat been known to say?
He said mama.
Mama?
Or, yeah. And that's the main thing. Just that and... Okay, there. My furnace just went off, so that may help. Kent. What are you doing? What? Kent.
Well, I heard that.
Kent. What? What? Speak one more time. Come on. Kent. What are you doing? What? Oh, now he's just purring.
That's all right. I heard it once.
Okay, well, that's what he does. He follows me into the restroom or beats me there, and then he stands and I ask him questions, and he talks and talks and talks.
Oh, that's interesting. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. We have a cat, Yeti. In fact, we had Yeti's photograph up on the webcam yesterday. And Yeti has a, what would be the right word for this? He is consumed with the bathroom, with seeing a bowl flush. Yeti will come from one end of the house to the other end of the house at 1,000 miles an hour if he hears a bowl flush. My wife is convinced that at a young age, maybe in some other household somewhere, Yeti saw something very precious, like a dead goldfish, or even a mouse, or something that he really, really wanted, goes swirling down the bowl. And ever since, he's been looking for it. Now, this is a God's honest truth. No matter where you are, if you flush, he will fight his way in, put his two front paws up in the front of the bowl, and watch the swirl go down. So she is convinced, and it may be true, that at one time he saw something that went twirling down that bowl that he desperately had been coveting, like maybe a goldfish. I mean, people do that all the time. Who knows? Cats. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
I got a UFO story that it's kind of an unusual story. I brought some information out of a dream, and it was last summer, and I'm trying to get an interpretation. Maybe your audience can help me out, or it... Excuse me, I didn't expect to get through here. But anyway, I'm looking for an interpretation. Maybe some physicists, some UFO experts can help me out.
Well, lay it on us.
Last summer, I had a very vivid dream. I'm 35 years old. I sleep well. I'm a pilot. Don't fly professionally, but I've got a commercial instrument, CFI, to add some credibility. I've been in the aviation business for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, I... basically had a very vivid dream of being shown a UFO. I walked into what was some type of an old storage area, maybe a 50 by 50 room, maybe 25 foot high ceilings.
Right.
And from what I could tell when I walked into this hangar type room, it was an old type building. You know the old hangar lights you used to see? They have kind of a basket type cover.
Sure.
Over the lights.
Sure.
And it was stuffy smell. It was very, I mean, this is an amazingly vivid dream. And the room, it seemed like it had been years since it had been occupied. And inside this 50 by 50 foot room was at least a 30 foot diameter UFO. And it was 10 to 12 feet high, a had the center, kind of aluminum colored, and the opening on it was very distinct. It had a maybe a 16th of a pie type cut opening, and as I walked into this hangar type storage area, I got to walk up and touch it, and it was a smooth, amazing aluminum feeling type surface. Well, because of the lighting in this hangar, you could only see so far in the interior of the ship, and in this dream, I could see the interior being only 5 feet tall, a very unremarkable flat panel type interior that was a dark gray material, and at the center, some sort of column that came up off the floor, and in the center of this column, sitting on top of some type of research type book, it was a old ledger type book with a bluish gray surface, you know, kind of something you'd see probably in the 40s or 50s.
Right.
And this book, it was maybe a 10 by 14. This is, vivid. I could sight, sound, and feel. It was just like being there. It's like I was being shown this. I picked up this book, and on this cover, it said Therp Beam, T-H-E-R-P. And I opened it up, leafed through it, and I had this amazing anxiety come over that somebody has shown me something here that I'm not supposed to see. And I got this amazing anxiety at this point. I looked into this book for...
All right, sir, well, I'm very short on time. Is there more to this?
Well, if you look up this information, Therp Beam, it's related to something in nuclear astrophysics.
All right, so you want to know what that would be, right?
Yeah, I'd like to explain another couple...
Therp Beam. All right, hold on. We'll break here and come back to you. One reaction might be... Therp Beam, huh? One reaction might be that it wasn't a dream, but it's really a repressed memory. Think about it.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up.
And never see you when deliberately putting you in my way. Well, here's a poke at you. You're gonna choke on it too. You're gonna lose that smile, because all the while I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles. I could see for miles and miles and miles.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Network presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18, 2002.
Anything your little heart desires tonight, totally open lines, Friday night, Saturday morning, the beginning of the weekend. I want to remind everybody that I'm going to be gone on Monday, but on Monday we're going to do a replay of the entire Mel's Hole saga. And if you've never heard this, trust me when I tell you, this is one you're not going to want to miss. That's coming up Monday right here.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18th, 2002.
And by the way, Tuesday we're going to have Dean Koontz here. All right, we were in the middle of a dream, or probably toward the end of the dream, and it was a very vivid dream, and maybe it wasn't a dream at all, sir.
All right, Art, I guess I should first start by saying this is Jerry listening on Como 1000 Seattle. I just went into my spiel, but this is where information gets kind of interesting. When I got to the point in the dream where I saw this book, I leafed through it, and I got to the point where I felt I was going to be caught, and I closed the book, looked at the cover, and it's kind of the point where it ended, and I woke up, and this is early in the morning, grabbed a red pen, which I always keep a red pen on my desk to write down important things.
Right.
I wrote down two things. I wrote down Thirp Beam, and below it I wrote in smaller letters, Thirp Beam, ? Because, you know, dreams are fragmented, of course. But here's where I thought, well, I'm going to look it up on the Internet, see if Thirp is related to maybe some individual, maybe scientist, just for what it was worth. Well, do you know what Thirp stands for?
No.
Technique for Human Error Rate Prediction, and it was developed by Alan Swain at Sandia National Laboratories in the 50s as a quality control method for estimating errors in the assembly of nuclear warheads.
Oh.
And I had never heard the term Thirp, and I've been in aviation for 15 years.
I've never heard the term Thirp.
And it says right here, its enduring contributions have been to analysis and design of human-machine interactions. And it's supposed to be useful in the robustness of a design. And so I typed in on Google.com just in the last couple months. I've been listening to your show more since September 11th. And
right.
Feel kind of, I guess, the word convergence, just the topics you cover and the possibilities. Well, if you type Thirp Beam in on Google.com, the fourth link you'll come to is it's information that a PhD could probably interpret. It's related to nuclear astrophysics. Now,
all right, listen, all I can do is offer you the opportunity to have some people call in or send me email on about Thirp Beam, and I'll get it on.
Okay, and then I can make one other comment. Remember, the second thing I wrote down was Thirp Beam ?
Yes.
Well, I put in that under search, and there's one subject that was a link that was not really relative. So I thought, well, maybe it was the RPA beam. Well, if you put the RPA beam and search that, that goes into a whole other technological thing. I think it's random phase approximation. So it's complex, but I'm
okay. I think I've got it, sir.
All right,
it.
Thank
you very much. Take care. We'll see what comes. Thirp beam or Thirp beam ? Maybe a dream, maybe not. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hey, we're calling from Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah, yes, sir.
Yeah, first miracle is that thank God you're in Savannah now.
I think we added Savannah like earlier,
just
beginning of the
recently.
Week or something. Yeah, very, very.
Yeah.
How did you hear us?
Live in the Midwest and listen to you every night. And
well, before we got to Savannah, how did you hear us?
In Lincoln, Nebraska, actually.
From Lincoln, Nebraska, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's AM radio for you.
KFRB or one of those stations.
Right.
Anyway, our cat asked for dinner.
Your cat asks for dinner?
Exactly.
How does it do that?
Well,
I mean, what does it say?
Early on, we knew that cats respond to a higher pitch of voice.
Absolutely.
And so when I would call my cat to dinner, I would say, "Dinner?" Like that.
Yeah.
My cat, when it wants dinner,
says,
will say, "Ear." Ear.
As close as your cat can get.
As close as it can pronounce it.
Maybe D's are really hard for cats.
Apparently. somehow. I mean, remarkably close.
Well,
it misses a D, but...
But otherwise, it gets it. That is amazing. Look, I have no idea what to say about that. Animals, according to Penelope Smith last night, and I believe her, animals can emulate, and for some reason or another, do occasionally attempt to emulate human words. And dinner would seem to me, like mama, dinner and mama would seem to be basics. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, is this Art Bell?
It is indeed. Where are you?
Oh, my God. I'm in Elgin, Oregon, up in the northeast corner, and my name is Catherine.
Yes, Catherine.
I heard that last caller, and it made me laugh because I have a winter home in Kauai, Hanalei, Hawaii.
Yes.
And there's a cat that wanders around the coffee shop, and it quacks. I'm not kidding. It actually quacks like a duck.
It does?
It actually does. And it does it with an M instead of a Q, though. Maybe Qs are hard, too, or something.
So
it goes, quack, quack, just like that. And it was, I found this out the story, it was raised around
ducks
when it was little ditty.
Yeah?
It's true.
Well, anyway. I guess that...
It's true.
I wonder now if you were to take your cat to a duck pond...
Well, I think it was just when it was little or something, but who knows?
Well, I know, but if your cat now were to go back to a duck pond, it might be interesting to see what would happen.
Who knows? Oh, and by the way, my dog really just liked you having the communicator on last night. He sits around me all the time when I listen to you, and last night you had that lady on with communication. I looked at him, I said, "I'm going to learn about you." And he walked off, and he did not come back for the whole 3 hours.
Well, let me give your dog something, all right?
Okay.
This is for your dog. There you go. That's for your dog. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mike from Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
Yes.
I just wanted to call in regards to a miracle that I kind of think would be nice.
You're allowed only one.
One, I'm fine with that.
So think it through, because there are consequences to some miracles that people have been wishing for.
Well, mine isn't as grand, I guess, for other people. But, I mean, I work in the stock room, and I encounter truck drivers a lot. And I was talking to one today who was picking some stuff up, actually, from the store that I work at, Pier 1.
Right.
And we kind of got into a very nice conversation just about how much the country is actually based on, not only the country, but I guess a lot of the world, is based on... people like stock boys and truckers bringing things places and getting them ready for production, especially food.
You better believe it. Sure. Without truckers, we would not exist where I live.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the more basic and poignant things said in the conversation was there are no cows in New York City. I mean, they wouldn't have milk if it wasn't for trucks in New York City, the most civilized places in the world. But and my wish, I think, my miracle would be that people like that could maybe be seen on a higher plane, or maybe receive a little bit more in turn for all the work that they actually
do. Well, I can assure you of this, sir. If half of the things that people predict frequently on the show come true,
yes,
their day is coming soon.
I hope so.
Because if our society were to change,
yeah,
and believe me, deliveries and goods and items and things you need for living would be at an all-time premium, and the people who would bring those,
yeah.
Have a good day.
Okay.
Take care. Don't wish for disaster, but that would be the very first, they would rise to heroic levels indeed. Truck drivers are generally pretty cool people. You know, I've got an RV, and we get the RV on the road from time to time, and you get to talk to truckers on CB, and they are the nicest people. And a lot of them, of course, have heard me because they're just out driving late at night. And that's what I like, late night driving. Nothing like it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hello.
Hello, this is Dennis from Houston.
Hello, Dennis.
Listening to KTRH, even 740.
The monster on 740, yeah.
Yes, yes. You have a huge following here. As I told you when you answered real quick, I'm the rare species called a current Enron employee.
You're an Enron employee?
I'm currently an Enron employee, and not, don't really want to be for too much longer. I want to get back to Atlanta. But
what is it like hearing your company talked about on every single newscast?
Well, it's interesting lately because we get more news from Yahoo than we do from internally.
Are there a lot of, you know, memos running around Enron right now about what's going on? Or
no. In fact, the volume of email, the amount of actual work to do has plummeted.
Yeah, I bet.
I play more games of ping pong than I do actual work.
Maybe that's what happened to Enron. I mean,
no, it was extremely busy before
it was, huh?
Hit the fan.
Okay.
But the main reason I was calling is I want to get your opinion on what I've been working on is the grand unification for alien theory, I guess.
Okay.
I've been trying to figure out some of the things that don't make sense around what's been happening.
Okay.
And the main thing that doesn't make sense to me is if the government knows, let's say, something, whatever that something is.
Right.
And has been working very hard to dissuade the public from believing something or thinking that something is there.
Right.
Finding ways around it.
Right.
The only thing I can think of as to why they would want to do that is it's not in our interest to know that. Okay. Why?
I agree with you.
The only thing I can come up with...
You know, everybody says there should be absolute, total openness. And I'm sorry, but that's generally bunk. There are some things that the public should not be told about. And I could think of several categories, but I happen to agree with that scenario, which does not make me popular.
The only thing I can think of is that we happen to be in a contested region of space. That would fit with the last show. Was it STS 100?
Well, it's good to know we've got good real estate.
I'm not sure if it's good real estate. Maybe we were just the ants on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Wrong place at the wrong time.
Maybe that we are that which is being fought over. Maybe souls have great value.
Very possibly.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. An Enron employee. That would be a rare thing these days, wouldn't it? An actual Enron employee. And what is he doing on a daily basis now? Playing ping pong. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Art, good to talk to you. Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
And this little UFO story here. It was back in 1990, and I've heard about this or something close to this quite a while ago, I think. But it was kind of a cloudy, foggy night, and we were driving down a road in the Red Bud Valley area around Catoosa, Oklahoma, it's right outside of Tulsa, and I've heard a lot of UFO stories, but what I saw that night was just talking about it right now, it just puts goosebumps on my neck.
All right, well, what happened?
Well, this thing was so big, it was at least 5 football fields long and probably about 2 football fields wide.
That's really big.
And have you ever heard of like a locomotive from a distance, that hum?
Oh, yes.
It's like a boom, 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 something like that.
Sure. Yeah, we used to put our ears on the tracks and listen for them coming.
Yeah, something like that, but it was a different. And, but what's strange about this area is like, you know, like 8 years later, I saw something like an orb, and it seemed to follow us around.
Well, where is this area?
It is northeast of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
There's an area called Port of Catoosa, and there's an area called Redbud Valley.
All right. Well, with regard to the first thing you saw, that was obviously One of those. With regard to the second thing you saw, Tulsa, Oklahoma, of course, that area, is in a very violent thunderstorm belt. It's actually in the tornado belt. Part of the tornado belt swings on up through that area, and ball lightning or plasma balls could explain the second thing, certainly not the first. On my international line, you are on the air. Hello, where are you, please?
Yeah, hi, Art. This is Al Khan from Korea.
Korea? What part?
Oh, South Korea.
South Korea. Okay, well, I didn't think it was the North.
Actually, Osan, which is about 20 miles south of Seoul.
Okay, very good. What's up?
Okay, got a question for you. Actually, I got several real quick questions. One, were you in the Air Force at Kadena in 78, 79? I think I might have met you way back when.
No, it was earlier than that, but I was at Kadena.
Oh, okay.
Boy, do we have an echo.
Oh, bad, huh? Okay, one comment. If you're overseas, you have to subscribe to the Premier Radio Service, which I want to say they've been really, really good with their tech support staff, because I was having trouble connecting, and I sent them an email, and they bent over backwards. One thing, just for an idea, just mull it over. What about the possibility, like, of the people that do subscribe to the service?
Yes.
That you let them see the fast blast that you get coming in? What do you think?
That's an interesting concept, period, whether it would be people overseas or people... Well, you know what? Let me think about that.
Okay.
I'll take that up with my webmaster.
Boy, I can't wait for Dean Koontz coming next week. That ought to be pretty good.
Should be good, yes.
Yeah. Okay, you take care, Art.
All right, take care. All the way from Korea. I wonder if that could be done. If you could actually monitor the fast blasts as I do. Some pretty strange stuff comes over there, I'll tell you. Some pretty strange stuff. That's one of those things where I'm not sure it would be good for the public to have access to that. It's like the U.S. government, right? But it might be fun. It is pretty wild. I mean, it's like one of those things where anything goes, and I get everything fast blasted you just would not believe. Maybe you would. First time caller in line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, this is AJ from Indianapolis.
Yes, AJ.
Is this Art Bell?
I'd be the one, yes.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to let you know about my cat.
What about your cat?
He was, that's Tom Cat, and it's black and white, named Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there at my desk and working, and I took a little break, just turned around and was watching him laying on the floor. And all of a sudden, he meowed like if you stepped on his tail or something.
Right.
And took off, and it was like something was chasing him. They turned around and started swatting right in midair.
Huh.
And there was nothing there. But the thing, it went on for like 2 minutes. So I don't know if something bit him or what.
Well, did you hear the caller a little while ago who actually saw for a moment what his cat had?
Yes. I'm glad I didn't.
wouldn't that be something, sort of catch a glimpse of something foggy and not quite solidly there, but enough so you knew your cat's not nuts, it's really got something.
Right.
Ooh.
That's pretty spooky.
I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cats do that. I mean, they obviously are seeing things that we don't. Or they're making it up in their mind. My view is they really are seeing something. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello, sir.
How are you tonight?
Okay, what's up?
Throw an extra log on the fire?
There you go.
I was fascinated by your show last night on some of those animal stories.
Yes.
So I got one for you.
Okay.
I used to live by William S. Hart Park, the old-time movie star.
Yes, sir.
You might remember.
Right.
He has a huge property that was donated to Los Angeles County. And I was training a dog up there, so I spent a lot of time in these canyons. And Walt Disney made a movie up there one time and left a herd of buffalo behind that are still there.
Oh, you're going to have to hurry because...
Okay. I kept hearing a lot of Native American stories about the buffalo. So I went up to these buffalo that were very shy.
Right.
And I began to talk to what I imagined was the dominant male buffalo in this herd.
And what happened?
He looked at me for a while, and he walked over to me right up to the fence. Well, my dog was going nuts, hiding up in the woods and just barking.
Very quickly, sir.
So I asked the buffalo to tell the dog it was okay. The dog stopped barking and came down. So I'm a believer.
You're a talker. You're a buffalo whisperer. I love the nighttime. I'm Art Bell.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from January 18, 2002. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. Richard in Modesto, California says, no, that's not Richard. It's Ben in Fort Worth. He says, give us your picks for the NFL games. No, I don't pick NFL games. I could only give you wishes for what would happen. And, you know, I'd kind of like to see Pittsburgh get there, and I'd sure like to see the Raiders get there. Oh, let it be a Raiders Super Bowl. That would, so no picks, just wishes. We'll see what happens. I'm a really big Raiders fan, as I'm sure you know, so. Maybe. You never know, you just never know. What is it they say? Any given Sunday?
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Into the night sky, once again, we go. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I had an experience when I was in a Boy Scout troop when I was 12 years old, and I've never been able to know exactly what this was. I wanted to lay it on you, and maybe through your guess that you've had, maybe you can help me out with exactly what
okay.
it was.
What happened?
I was on a hike up in the mountains here. I'm calling from Colorado, from Denver.
Oh, yes.
And the troop I was with was attached to a church, and it'll become apparent later why I said that. But anyway, I was going up, and it was a pretty tough trail, switchbacks all the way, probably topped out about 11,000 feet elevation.
Oh, that's up there, yes?
Yeah. And I wasn't particularly an in-shape kid, so I took a few breaks along the way. And when we got to the very top, there was this huge boulder that they had cut a pathway through to finish the path. I knew I was near the top. And the instant I saw that boulder, now I couldn't see what was on the other side of it because it was too big and brush and trees and stuff on the other side. But I saw in my mind's eye instantly in a flash what was on the other side. I knew there was going to be a big green grassy area. There's a big lone tall tree at the end of the field, and someone was sitting at the base of the tree waving at me and hollering my name. I couldn't tell who it was in this flash, but it just freaked me out so much I paused. It just took an instant for all that to come in my mind, and then I just went ahead, and 60 seconds later I went, and sure enough the scene was exactly as I thought. It was my Sunday school teacher that was sitting at the tree giving me a hard time that he had beat me up, you know. So you let an old man beat you up, you know, just razzing me.
Well,
but I couldn't tell it was him. But what was that? I mean, it wasn't a life-saving thing. It wasn't like, hey, there's a fire burning out of the house. Or
no, it was precognition.
Well, now, see, I've had two theories explained to me, and I don't know if either of them make sense. One person told me they felt that before we came to Earth, we had our life shown to us. What are some things we were experiencing when something like that happened?
Well, I think that's reaching. I think it was a simple case, sir, of precognition, and by that I mean the mind does appear capable of, on occasion, giving you a momentary, precise look into the rather immediate future. You know, it has happened to me only once. And it's happened to a lot of other people. It seems to be an ability we have. We cannot seem to control it. We can't call it up on demand, although there are people who claim they can. It just happens. It may be that oxygen deprivation at 11,000 feet, which begins about there, may have had you in a slightly altered state. I think what you described is pretty much a simple case of precognition. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Very welcome. Where are you?
I am west of Philadelphia,
okay.
And my name is Stefan.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I remember a couple weeks ago you were asking for recommendations. I think you were trying to, I guess you're hoping to snag a couple of guests for a show about bioethics and cloning.
Oh, yes, and I did.
There is a, I'm sorry if I was too late, but there is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia named Arthur Kaplan. He's a bioethicist.
Mm-hmm.
He's made quite a few appearances in local media. He, I believe, even did a column at one point for a paper in the city.
Well, I'd be very interested to speak to him. What does he, can you give us a synopsis of what he feels about cloning?
Well, long story short, he is opposed to it, but he does have a very political bent to him. I would say he's not exactly controversial, but
you know, cloning is probably going on right now. Human
likelihood.
Human cloning. It's probably already occurred.
The other tidbit I need to bring up. I remember quite a while back when the band Tool released their most recent album. You've mentioned something about actually having the band's vocalist on your show, and you were quite interested in what the band, not only their background, but their interest in mysticism, among other things. Did you ever have any success in contacting their people?
Yes.
And where does that stand?
And
right
where
now?
It stands, I'm going to have to find out. I don't know. I know that they wanted to be on.
Well, I hope it's not going to be in limbo for much longer.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much,
thank you very much
for the call, and take care. There seems to be something of a connection between musicians and the propensity to be interested in the paranormal. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. Musicians, of course, are very creative people by nature, right? They're imaginative. They live kind of a mental life. And so I guess I'm not too surprised at that. But over the years, I've ceased to become surprised. And I think that's why. I think that's why so many people who are in the music field tend toward interest in the kind of things that we discuss on this program. I think that is the connection, the creativity. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Tom from Murray, Utah.
Yes, sir.
I have a new category of circumstances I'd like to put out to your audience, if I could, please.
Sure.
I have a story that took place back in 1969. The memory of it is so vivid that I could almost count the rocks on the road.
Hmm.
I was on my way to work. I was 20 years old. I was late. I was driving an Austin Healey and going way too fast. And I went through a red light. And there was a I'll never forget this. It was a 1963 Ford Squire. You know those great big yellow jobs with the wood fake wood trim on them and all
that? I sure do.
Okay, Big Mama. And I was driving so fast that I didn't even have a chance to even put on the brake. I mean, when that car pulled out in front of me, I was obviously going to hit it. And I just clenched down on the steering wheel and closed my eyes, and nothing happened. And I opened my eyes, and that car was behind me.
Oh. Oh.
Art, there's no way.
I've heard these stories.
Honest to God, Art, this is not a hoax.
No. I believe you. You passed through that vehicle, right?
Passed through that vehicle.
Yeah, no, I've received a lot of emails from people who have said the same thing. Now, the only question is, what happened to you? Did a guardian angel take a second and it just wasn't, you know, your number wasn't up yet? Or did some guardian angel help you? Or what exactly?
You know, I thought about it 1,000 times, and the first thought that comes to me is maybe there was something I'm supposed to do, or maybe there was a baby I was supposed to have, or,
right.
Or you know, those kinds of thoughts. There's nothing spectacular about it, and honest to God, my memory, when it actually happened, it was a miraculous circumstance, but it didn't seem that out of the ordinary at the time. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, at the moment, it was just like, whoa, that's interesting, and then I just went off to work, but you know, it's like you're really close to tears when that happens, because you have just seen death in the eye.
And walked past it.
There was no flashing lights. There was none of this big, you know, Hollywood stuff. I just, but I honestly, honest to God, I
oh, well, it's worthy of Hollywood, believe me. It definitely is.
But it wouldn't make a dime on Hollywood because it wasn't the big flashing lights kind of stuff we're all used to seeing. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to you?
Well, with today's special effects, believe me, they could dramatize that. They could show you whizzing to work, right? I mean, just blowing through lights, and then they.
Oh, and I was.
Yeah, and they could show you shutting your eyes just before the instant of impact, and then being out on the other side with that vehicle behind you. That's incredible.
But you know, my question is, I'm wondering if anyone else has had this. Maybe they could give you a call or something. and you talk about shadow people a lot, and I see those kinds of things as well. Mine are always in doorways, and they're always they're usually dark doorways, and mine are usually like I get the impression that it's just a little boy. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a kid I'm supposed to have down the road or what. But it that has nothing to do with this. It's a totally different.
Well, maybe you're going to save the world.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I don't think
so. All right. Well, thank you for the story. I guarantee you I will get more now. Has anybody else out there, at the instant of impact, at the assurance, the assured moment of death, suddenly passed through whatever it is that would have killed you instantly? Oh, I know those stories are out there. Some people tell them when they talk about guardian angels and that sort of thing. But he didn't mention a guardian angel, just that it occurred. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Kate from California.
Well, hello.
How are you doing?
All right.
I have a bizarre 60s Southern California story for you.
Okay.
In 1969, I lived with a family, an extended family, and my roommate and I used to work all day and then go dancing in Riverside, and then we'd stop about 2 in the morning on our way home to get some fast food or something since we were skinny young girls. But one evening in the late summer of 69, we were on the San Bernardino Freeway 10 East right at Redlands, and we were going to take an off-ramp and go to the Denny's and pick up something to eat and then go home. And it's a four-lane road on either side of the, you know, going in either direction. So I'm pulling off the off-ramp and asking my friend, well, what are you going to get to eat? And she's telling me, and all of a sudden, we were still in the car. It was still driving right on a road, but suddenly we weren't in this area with all these bright lights in a four-lane or eight-lane freeway.
You were suddenly somewhere else?
I was on a two-lane road with nothing but dirt for miles. No sign of city lights.
Wow.
Signs, no nothing. And I stopped the car, and my friend is going, weren't we just at the Denny's? You know, and I didn't know quite how to proceed. I said, well, you know, I have not a clue where we are, so we just have to keep driving and see if we come to a sign or something,
right,
and know where we are. And we had lost 2 hours of time. I have no clue where that went. But when we finally got to signs, we were on the other side of some place called China Lake.
Uh-huh.
And it's toward the border of California. And
it's very close to me. I know where China
Lake is. Oh, and it was just too strange. So we had to get our bearings, drive all the way to San Diego, and then back up to San Bernardino because it was the only way I knew how to get back where I lived. But and we were quite shaken, and thank goodness her mother was very understanding.
And you know this occurred instantaneously.
Yes, absolutely. It wasn't like we didn't drink or smoke or any of that. You know, we weren't out flying by in the 60s, but we were totally alert, and one second we were there, and the next second we were on the other, you know, like a 4 or 5 hour drive from where we started.
And there were 2 hours missing?
Missing from time. But we don't remember what happened in that period. But about 3 weeks later, we were in a little town called Mentone. It's just a tiny place in San Bernardino County, out in the front yard. And I was with my girlfriend's mother and a little nephew who was about 6 or 7 at the time. We're all talking. And look up, it was evening, it wasn't quite dark yet, and all of a sudden here is this object. It was a flying vehicle that was cylindrical kind of, and it was just light, like neon light blue white, some kind of odd color. And we were looking at it, and I remember sort of flicking back and forth from the side yard to the front yard where I'd been standing with them like millions of times in a minute, you know. And then all of a sudden it just shot off into the distance really fast and disappeared.
Well, and let me tell you something.
Oh.
You should go to a hypnotist and be regressed and find out what really happened, because it sounds to me like you were handled.
I think something happened, that's for sure, because after that period, I suddenly couldn't wear jewelry anymore. My skin was really sensitive to all kinds of metals, and when I'd try to work with my computer, it wouldn't work, and my radio would turn off, and every time I passed something electric, it'd go crazy. And
you were abducted.
Yeah, sometimes I want to know what happened, and sometimes
that
I'm
was
not gonna
be
sure.
That was gonna be my next question. Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I do. I do. I just am not sure where to go to do something like that and not end up being a government experiment, you know.
John Mack, Professor John Mack.
And is he in California or where?
Harvard.
Oh, okay. But if I call there, then he could figure something out.
Yeah, you can communicate with Professor Mack, you bet.
I think that'd be a great idea.
I do, too.
Yeah, well, thank you for picking my call.
And when you do find out, you call me back.
I will. And I wanted to tell you one other thing that happened. It was years later, but I was living in Northern California on 4th of July in 1991. It was about midnight, and I'd been in Redding watching fireworks with my two small children. I was on the way back up toward Lassen Park where my property was, and I looked up in the sky. It was really clear, lots of stars, and all of a sudden I saw what appeared to be a meteor, which was coming into the atmosphere, and it turned bright red, and I just assumed it would burn up. Well, it came through the atmosphere, came down, turned that same weird color, neon blue,
yes.
Stopped, went to the right,
stopped.
And stopped,
uh-huh.
Went to the right, and then went down behind Mount Lassen, and I thought, oh, man, I'm seeing things. And then my little boy, who I thought was asleep, went, oh, Mom, did you see that spaceship go down behind the mountain? And so I thought, oh, well. You know, we drove around trying to locate it, and then I went home. I thought, oh, better left.
You get to somebody who can help you out, and then you call me.
I will.
All right.
Thanks very much, Art. Have a good night.
Take care. Uh-huh. She's been handled. You know, the question is, and it's a good one, would you really want to know what happened to you? The answer is, you might not. But on the other hand, I guess it would nag you for, you know, the rest of your life. Oh, well. I'm Art Bell, and this, of course, is what comes in the nighttime. It's called Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. For the truth, you'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
together back into the nighttime we go. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, Art, I am so excited to be talking to you. My name is Jerry. I live in North Hollywood.
Hello, Jerry.
Listening to KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk with Art Bell.
Listen, it just blankets not only Southern California, but the whole Southwest.
I'm surprised you don't get calls from, like, east of the Rockies listening to
KFI.
Know. Yeah. They're right. Everywhere. And you just blow us all the way out here.
Ah, well, thank you.
Now, okay, here's what I'm calling you about. I've got a little pig here, if I can get her. She passed out over the commercial break.
She did.
She had some good food, and she's kind of a narcoleptic pig here. If I can get her to, her name's Hannah. She's
Hannah,
a yellow pig. Texas pig that's relocated to California. Come on, baby. Come on. Can you hear it all?
Baby.
She's trying to eat the phone, actually. Okay. Okay. Well, she says, sometimes she says, well, she only says one thing. One time she said, I thought she said 19.5, and we were going to call her Hoagland, but come on, baby, come on. But she says one thing, and if I can hopefully, this is so embarrassing. I've heard everyone tonight try to get their animals to talk.
And naturally your pig won't.
No, hold on.
Now, do you really think that I believe your pig says 19.5?
No. Can you hear it? Can you hear that?
That's a pig?
Yeah. Can you hear it?
That's a pig. Let's hear it again.
Oh. I can't get you to do it again. Come on, Hannah. Come on, Hannah. Hey,
well,
Hannah. Where's Uncle Jerry? Come on, Uncle. Come on, baby. Can you hear that at all? Come
on. That's a pig. I can't say that on radio. I was a pig. Pigs don't make sounds like that, and they definitely don't say 19.5. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, I'm still laughing.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's quite all right.
There are many coincidences between you and me. There seems to be a connection. We have the same feelings, but you're born on my mother's birthday.
Huh.
But that isn't a good thing. She wasn't a good person.
No?
It turns out I found in 94, had Munchausen's disease.
Oh.
And my dad was a saxophonist.
He was what?
A saxophonist. And I know you love the saxophone.
I absolutely do. Anyway, sir, what's up?
I've had many things happen to me. Like the first 7 years of my life, I have no recall, and shadow people. But I think the thing that might impress you the most, I think after listening to you, I think I've got to search out that professor at Harvard. On New Year's Day of 96, my friend and I had won a trip to the Rose Bowl, the Rose Parade.
Yes.
And Universal Studios.
Right.
And she was my companion. I was in a wheelchair. And I asked the clerk at the hotel, the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, what time I should leave. He said, at dawn. Well, I was pretty ill. And we didn't leave until just about 8 o'clock. And the parade starts at 8.
Right.
And I said, oh, good grief. And he says, you're never going to find a place to park. It'll be 10 blocks away.
Right. Oh, sure.
And we got there, and I found a parking place exactly one block from Colorado Boulevard. By rights, the parade should have started. There was a street, one block. I had no idea where my tickets were for. No idea where to park. And we went around the block because the street was open, and a man in white on a white motorcycle and a lady with white hair and a white suit, the officials of the parade, said, oh, the seats are right over there, a quarter of a block away. So the official escorted us on his motorcycle, and everybody's waving us, and I had to bring a chair for my friend. And we sat down, and the moment we sat down, the first float came. And the only thing I can figure, and I have this has never left my mind since that day, is that God stopped time.
Well, he may stop time, but he wouldn't do much. I've never seen him affect the Rose Bowl parade, so I don't know. That sounds incredibly lucky. I'm not sure I'd go beyond that, and I'm not sure I'd talk about God stopping time, and definitely not stopping the Rose Bowl parade. He may have cut a path for you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay.
I've got a dead cat story for you.
Oh.
I have a, I bought my, or actually I adopted a kitten for my wife and my son back when my son was first learning to crawl.
Right.
A couple of months, 6 or 7 months after we got the cat got out of the apartment and was struck by a car and killed.
Oh.
I know that the cat was dead because I had to pick the cat up and bury him.
Right.
A couple of months after that, I was getting ready for work one night. My son was in my wife and I's bedroom on a double bed crawling around.
Right.
And I was standing facing a mirror,
yeah.
Putting my uniform on, getting ready for work.
Right.
Getting ready for work, and out of my peripheral vision, I can see my son crawling around on a bed, and he's on all fours, and he is nose to nose with Jake, with the cat.
The cat you buried?
The cat I had buried a couple of months before.
You're so sure it's the same cat?
I focused in on the cat because the cat has absolutely no right to be there. Whipped around, looked at my son, and he's still in the same position on all fours, and there's no cat. Searched my entire apartment, thinking, you know, maybe a similar cat had gotten in.
Yes.
Nothing.
Well,
there's no other animal here.
Yep, I've got it. Look, if as we speculated last night, cats and other animals have individual personalities, individual emotions, individual self-awareness, then why not a soul? And if a cat can have a soul, then a cat can be a ghost. You see? It's really as easy as that. If A, B, C, and D are true, then in all likelihood, E probably is as well. And so that's probably what it was. Ghost of a cat. Ghost of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, hello, Art. How are you today?
I'm okay, sir.
Yes. As a skeptic, I do not wish to talk about UFOs or the paranormal.
Okay.
However, I do have a suggestion for a miracle.
Okay.
If I could perform any miracle, I would establish America as a libertarian nation, abolishing all socialist, totalitarian, and authoritarian aspects of our government, while ensuring the complete individual rights of all citizens, regardless of their race, religion, or social status.
So you're a devout libertarian?
Oh, yes. I was first of all abolished the income tax.
Oh, would you?
Yes.
And so then how would you pay for armies and stuff like that?
Armies would be volunteer. And
well, you mean utterly volunteer, like they don't get any pay at all?
What we could have...
And also, how would you pay for the guns that the army carries?
I'm familiar with Ayn Rand.
Yes. My questions are more relevant.
Yes.
You know, I understand the perfect world you envision. I just don't understand the pragmatic aspects of it. How would you pay for the guns that the military must have?
There could be some taxes on luxuries, such as extravagant jewelry. Things that only the rich class would buy.
So you would make only the rich pay for the army.
But they wouldn't have to buy those things.
But now you're sounding kind of like, what are you sounding like? Let's think about this. You're not sounding very libertarian because the rich, if you're a true libertarian, then you should certainly believe the rich have as much right, if not more in some ways, in our society than the middle class or the poor.
Yes, that is true. Another way would be, as Ayn Rand suggested, that there could be...
If you're just...
For making contracts, you would have to pay money to the government in order to make contracts.
legal.
Well, all right. You started out as a pure libertarian, and you are deteriorating quickly to something else. You know, you would take from the rich and give to the military so that nobody else would have to pay anything. So now you're not exactly a libertarian. You're more of a special interest group. Yourself. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Got a pass-through story in the car.
I knew these would be coming in droves now. This is a remarkable phenomenon.
My name is JJ. I'm calling from Beverly Hills.
Yes, sir.
A few years ago, probably like 8 years ago, I was with my friend Steve. We were just going out to get a bite to eat, mm-hmm. and he had a Mustang 5.0, very fast car.
Oh, yes.
Very bad brakes. And pulling up, he just punched it first gear, put it in second gear, chirped the tires. We were going so fast, his foot got stuck under the brake, in between the accelerator and the brake.
Oh, boy.
There was a gardening truck just creeping along across the intersection, filled with greenery. We both knew that we were going to go through that truck, and we both braced. And the next thing we know, we were on the other side of the truck. We both heard a very faint clipping sound.
Clipping.
It was like the wind between. I don't know. I can't even explain it. It was just a. We both looked at the corner of the rear view of the side mirror to see if it clipped. It was like such a faint clipping, but we both distinctly heard it.
Right.
But both of us, till this day, every time we see each other, we knew that we were going to go through that truck. There was no doubt, there was absolutely no doubt that we were going to hit that truck.
What do you think happened?
I just can't explain it. And my friend Steve says that he even felt something pull his foot back from underneath the seat. But I don't even want to even go there. Yeah.
All right.
But I had to call in with that.
I'm glad you did. And believe me when I tell you it is only the beginning. You should see my fast blasts. How many stories there are of this? How do you explain this? What do you think has happened to these people? I mean, there is no question about it. You can picture it in your mind, right? I mean, you're really going at a fast clip. You blow a stop sign or a light. And there's something that you're going to hit in an instant, in a flash of an instant, but you don't hit it. You close your eyes, you brace, and you're on clear road. How can that be? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Art.
Yes,
Pennsylvania.
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Years ago, there was a fellow from KDKA Radio used to read ghost stories every Halloween.
Oh.
And people would write in stories that they affirmed was true. And they said this one letter or story he told was about these people that said they were sure there was a ghost in their house. And they said they've actually seen that cat, its eyes, follow an object. They couldn't see the object, but they saw this cat seen something cross the room, and they said that cat's vision never left that object. They said they thought that cat could see that ghost.
Well, I believe it is true, sir. What we call a ghost, or whatever they are on the other side, are simply at a different vibratory level. And a cat can see things that we cannot, sir. It's just that simple.
Yeah, well, that's what they affirmed. They thought that cat was watching. That actually could see that ghost, if that's what it was.
There you are.
Yeah.
It's true. Thank you very much. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
I have a should-have-died experience I wanted to share with Art.
Should-have-died?
Yeah, like a near-death experience.
I see. Well, this is Art, so share.
Oh, hi. This is Marla. I'm sorry. I'm calling from Burbank.
It's quite all right.
This was several years ago, and my fiance and I were driving, and we were driving towards an oncoming train. and the gates are coming down, and of course the signal was red, and there was two cars side by side, and he was speeding and not paying attention, and all I remember is everything went black. When everything, you know, I could see again, the two cars were still sitting there at the red light, and we were on the other side. And I just, we both looked at each other, and I mean, we should have nailed those two cars. There was no way we could pass in between them. And I could see, you know, and then I could see the train after that.
Well, you know, obviously I'm going to be barraged with these stories now because this has happened to so many people. But the question is, what the heck is happening?
I don't know if it was a guardian angel, the Lord's intervention. I don't know. But we just looked at each other like we could not believe we lived through it, let alone didn't get hurt or nothing was damaged.
The only thing I can figure is that there is really some sort of timetable up there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not your time, that occasionally things happen that are just, they're out of sync with what's supposed to be happening, and it's really not your time. And so somehow something intervenes to stop it.
Right.
Maybe it's all absolutely automatic. If it's not your time, you're not going to die.
I guess so. I also wanted to tell you my stepfather, Terry, is a trucker, and he goes to Pahrump sometimes. And whenever I know he's in Pahrump, we all think of you.
Well, next time he's in Pahrump, tell him to listen to 95.1 FM.
I sure will.
That's KNYEN. That carries the program.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and take care.
Love
you. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Is this Art?
Yes. Turn your radio off.
I am. I'm turning off right now, Art.
Okay.
I'm Eileen. I'm calling from New York.
Yes.
And I'm a cat rescue person.
Ah, bless
you. I have no stories, really, but right now I have. It's been doing 5 litter boxes. I nap. I wake up to hear you. I think you're just wonderful.
You have 5 litter boxes?
25 cats.
You have 25 cats?
They're all spayed and neutered. I believe in that. I've rescued many cats pregnant. And excuse me, I'm a little nervous talking to you. And I adore them so much, but I find homes for a lot of them.
You better.
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I take care of them well. I'm a good mother that way. And my sister Maureen told me about you. She's in San Francisco, and we're originally from Toronto. But I just wanted to share that with you. And I appreciate your show. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
I do. And thank you for the cat stories.
All right. Good night. 25 cats. 25 cats.